Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Gene of Faith Grind Inspired Podcast. On today's episode, we have
Jermaine Miller. I am the CEO, founder of Mill Real Estate, and the CEO of Jermaine Miller Consulting.
Man, on this episode today, listen, you're going to wake up and win. And that's all I'm going to say, because tune in right now. That's it. I'm done. I'm walking away.
We are amazing because our passion is limitless and our drive is intense. Therefore, you will not deny our grind. You are now listening to the Faith Grind Inspire podcast with your host, Gene Alert.
Welcome back to another great episode of Faith Grind Inspire podcast. I am your host, and today we have a returning special guest, one of my good friends, inspirational guy, father of the year, my man, and now new author. Proud of my man, Jermaine Miller. What's going on, brother?
Everything's wonderful, man.
What's going on,
great
man?
To be here.
Yes,
great to
yes,
be back
yes.
on the show.
Yes. And it's good to have you back on, man. Like, you know, we had a lot of great feedback from your episode.
Yes.
And I want to say thank you, man.
Well, like, I appreciate you
thank
for
you
having
for coming
me.
On.
Yes.
And all right. So let's catch up, man. Let's
yeah,
catch up.
Yeah.
So what's been going on since episode like 40 something, man, because we have episode like 80 something.
Wow,
now.
It was that many episodes
mm-hmm.
ago. Wow. Well, this whole entire year, I really kind of designed. It's funny, I was talking to a client this morning about living life by default or living life by design.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, in 5 years, if you're doing what you're doing right now, where will you be? And most people don't really look that far down the road, thinking that their errors and their judgment is going to land them to this promised land.
Yeah.
And so I said, if you don't live your life by design, you'll live your life by default and you'll be doing the things that you really don't want to do. So when I finished that last particular podcast, there was a lot of goals that I had, but I was very centered on materializing this book. And it was one of the most challenging years of my life, not from formulating a book standpoint, but I think life had a way of testing me to make sure this is what I really wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I went through some very interesting points. And one of the things that I learned, or what I realized this year, was that if you say you want to accomplish your dreams, or if you say you want to accomplish your goals, you have to realize that you're going to grow into the type of person that accomplishes those dreams and goals. You don't say, I want to do this and work down here. You say, I want to do this and you work up here.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did the whole entire year was bringing into manifestation my book, Wake Up and Win.
I love it, man. Well, listen, ever since, I don't know what happened, man, you woke up and won, man.
Yes,
because
yes.
On Instagram, you inspire so many people, and you consistently do it. It's not like you do it once every 3 months.
Right.
You do it every day.
Right.
You share your testimonies. You've been on tons of speaking engagements.
Right.
You've been traveling. You're like, I said in the intro, father of the year, man, because you got three boys.
Right, right.
Like, that in itself. Someone asked me, I went on a podcast December 26th, right? Shout out to Delisha. And she said to me, she asked a question. And she asked all her guests this question.
Right.
Name a time, an ordinary day where you had to be extraordinary. So I said, being a dad.
Right.
Like, every day is like an ordinary day, but
right.
you, being a father is extraordinary. So for you being a father of three young boys
right.
in America, in New York,
right.
like,
I appreciate
Bree,
that.
Clap it up for my man. So thank you, man. Like,
yeah, no problem.
And being an example and showing that you don't make excuses, that showing them that you always going to turn up and you're going to turn on, you're going to wake up and win.
Right, right.
That's going to make your sons do the same thing when they grow older.
Exactly.
So you're leading by example.
Exactly.
So I applaud you for that too.
Thank you.
Because that right there is what I think, because, you know, we're in the school system.
Yes.
That right there is what a lot of boys don't see.
They don't see that.
They yes. don't see it.
One of the most inspiring things that I think inspired me was that I wanted to leave an impact for the people that are years after us,
mm-hmm.
because I realize if I impact them, they're going to impact my children, right? So that's really leaving a legacy. We talked about being in the school system and stuff like that. So the impact that I'm looking for is the impact for generations to follow. See, I read a lot of books. Most of the books that I read, 100 years old, 150 years old, and those are that's timeless material. So when you put out a book, that's timeless material. So I wanted my grandchildren's children's children to be able to pick up a book and say, wow, you know, my great, great, great grandfather wrote something that was so powerful that I can use these principles and change my life today.
Yeah. The title itself, man, Wake Up, Wake Up.
Wake up and win.
Wake up.
Wake
like,
up and
wake
win.
Up and win. You know what I'm saying? Like, but that first wake up, you know, it just for me as an entrepreneur, man, wake up. Like,
right. Snap out of it.
Get out your comfort zone.
Right.
Like that says so much. Get out your comfort zone. Stop being comfortable. Like, focus on your goals.
Right.
And then the picture, right? So, guys on YouTube land or audio, right? The cover is three guys or three silhouettes of people, right? And they have their hands up. They're on top of a mountain. It's like they climbed a mountain, right? So when I hear wake up and win, I'm just visualizing the guys waking up in the morning and saying, "Look, yo, we're going to climb this mountain."
Right.
Together.
And that was kind of part of the cover. I looked at life being the challenge or life being the mountaintop.
The mountaintop.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we all have goals. We all have dreams. We all have those things that we want to accomplish. But there is a journey that we have to go on. And if we don't wake up on this journey that we're on called life, because we're only renting this space while we're here. So we're going to miss a lot of things if we don't wake up. But these guys finally got to the top of the mountain, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I like most about, I think it was, there is a scripture that says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And so that was part of the script. That was part of the cover of the book too, because if you look at it, it's the sunrise.
Yeah, it's the sunrise.
It's not like bright day. So
that's true.
Right when the midnight is over, it's a new day. So all of our problems, all of our obstacles, all of that is left behind us. So we're on the mountaintop finally. We're celebrating at the dawn, right? And that was very, very powerful for me. Very, very powerful for me.
I love that, man. I love that. So I want to dive in.
Yeah, let's go.
So one of the chapters you have is Inner Conversations.
Yes.
Let's talk about that one.
So Inner Conversations was something that I dealt with, and I didn't realize how powerful these inner conversations are that we have. Inner Conversations, talking about in chapter two, is the conversations that we have with ourselves. And those are the conversations that I won't talk to you about. I won't talk to my best friends. I won't talk to my family members about that. It's those conversations that are mostly argumentative. It's right when I step out there to finally go live my dream, to finally go after my goals, to finally do the things that I've always wanted to do. It's that small talk that says, now is not the time. Maybe I should wait. And this happened to me. In fact, I wanted to lose some weight. Mm-hmm. I think actually right after the podcast, I'm like, I'm busting out of all my suits. I got to get down to this size. I'm going to be 40 this year. I got to stop playing. And so how this chapter came about was I set my alarm clock for 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go running. And around 4:45, I jumped up. I got up. But it was so dark outside. I start looking at the ceiling. I start roaming around, and the conversations that I started having with myself is, maybe it's not going to take all that for me to lose the weight that I want. I'll do this tomorrow. And so when I started really thinking about those conversations that we have, it's basically the self-imposed limitations that we put on ourselves right when we're getting ready to step out there and go live our dreams.
Man. The truth, bro. I'm part of that 5 a.m. club.
Yes.
And in the beginning, it's hard.
Yes.
And in the beginning, you do talk yourself out of it. Oh, why do I have to wake up this early?
Right, right.
No one else is up.
Nobody else is up.
Like, but no one's going to know.
That's the challenge. And,
yeah, that's
and
the challenge.
That's the small pep talk. And even times when we can actually accomplish the goals or the dreams, we're our own prosecutors sometimes.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely.
We're prosecuting ourselves much harder than our worst enemy would ever prosecute ourselves. And we talk ourselves right out of the dream. We talk ourselves right out of the good that we ever we ever wanted to accomplish. We talk ourselves right off the mountaintop and we never get back up.
That's true. That's so true. That's true. That's why they say it's hard in the beginning, messy in the middle, and rewarding at the end.
Yeah. In fact, I was doing this. I'm always watching something, mm-hmm. picking stuff up. Actually, Diana Nightingale, who is Earl Nightingale's widow, Earl Nightingale, you know, Stranger Secret, me and her are very close.
Oh.
She's a mentor of mine.
Nice.
And so we were talking about something the other day, and I had mentioned study, because Earl Nightingale, one of the things that I learned from him is life is a story. And if you're a motivational speaker, a writer, you speak in front of people on a daily basis, life is always teaching you something that if you're paying attention, you can tell a story from.
Mm-hmm.
So I was watching, How Spaceships Go to Space. Something simple.
Mm-hmm.
And the commentator is saying that 95% of the spaceship's usage is used getting off the ground. And I'm saying to myself, well, it takes that much power just to get off the ground. The second part was 95% of the time the spaceship is flying to the moon or out of space, it's off course. But because it knows it's off course, it still gets to its destination. And I'm saying, wow, isn't that so powerful? Because that's exactly what happens to us. We use so much energy just getting off that on the journey, we like, you know what? This is way too much. I'm going to go do something else. And we start doing something else. Or while we're on a journey, we don't even realize that we're off track. So we never get to where we're going.
Wow. That's deep. I like that analogy, man. That's real.
Yes.
That's real.
So we spend all of our energy getting off the ground,
mm-hmm.
and then all of our energy trying to get to where we're going. But because we're not clear, we're not definite, we don't have a definitive ending point to where we're going. And most of the times we actually don't believe what's possible for others is possible for us, but we'll wing it to try to get to some unknown destination.
Just land anywhere.
Land anywhere. In fact, Thomas Carlyle, the great Scottish philosopher, once said human beings can be compared to a ship without a rudder. And a rudder is like a steering. And he said, when the wind blows west, they go west. When the wind blows east, they go east. If landfall should appear, which is our destination, our dream, we wouldn't even know that that's our dream, our destination, because we don't know what we want. And so these inner conversations that we have that are mainly argumentative, they take us away from our goals instead of the positive inner conversations that we should be having every single day that's going to take us to our goals.
That's real. Man, next chapter. Next chapter. How to design your future.
Right.
How to design your future.
Well, that's something similar to what I was just talking about, living life by default or living life by design.
Uh-huh.
And like I said, most of us, we don't understand the difference between success and failure. Failure is a few errors in judgment practice every day. That's a failure.
Mm-hmm.
And once we realize that we as a people are not failures, we only do things that lead to failure, we can change just like that.
Yeah.
See, most of the time we focus on us being failures. I failed in school, so I'm a failure. I failed at a marriage, so I'm a failure at that. I failed at being successful at some point in life, so I harbor me being a failure. But we can change that when we do a few simple disciplines practice every day. That's success. And that's how you design your future. Knowing, right?
Brick by brick.
Knowing brick by brick that I'm not going to go right out there and build a successful puzzle. I talked with my sons recently. We were putting together a puzzle. And when we were putting together this puzzle, I said, this is what the end of the puzzle looks like. But they give us pieces for a reason. And if we just look at life that way, when this is what I want to accomplish and I take one piece of the puzzle, I know this is a part of the process. Here's the p- puzzle piece that goes right here. Mm-hmm. This is a part of the process. Here's the puzzle piece that goes right here until the sum total of all these pieces put together equal the puzzle of my picture. But if I don't have a picture in my mind, I can't design my life. I have no clue where all these things are coming from. So that's how you design
and
your future.
And that leads me to, what do you want?
That's the most. I had to get that out of the way right away.
The beginning, man.
Right away, that was the first chapter. And right away, we talked about what do you want, because I realized that most people don't get what they want out of life because they never decide what it is that they do want. So when I decide what it is that I want, I'm deciding that after I'm dealing with all of the things that I don't want to deal with. So here I am going through this life. I got all these obstacles. I got all these challenges. I got all this adversity because I never really said, this is exactly what it is that I want. So now that what I don't want is appearing, now I'm dealing with all of the struggles. I'm dealing with all the hardships. I'm dealing with things that I just could not imagine because I never decided what it was that I wanted.
I think a lot of people go through life not really knowing what they want. You got to think about it, right? So as kids, a lot of times the kids are going through what their parents want.
Right.
And their parents are technically putting what they wanted for themselves
right.
into their kids.
Right.
Oh, I wanted to be a doctor, but I didn't.
Couldn't. I failed. Right.
So I'm going to push you and try to lead you and steer you
to be
the rudder,
what I ride right? the rudder, right?
And I'm going to steer you to be a doctor. So you're going to avoid this, this, and this, and this. But you can't do that.
Right.
Because then the kid doesn't really want to be a doctor.
Right.
You know? But right. now this kid grows up, he's a lawyer or she's a lawyer.
And they're doing things that I don't want to do.
I don't want to do this.
And it's funny because Abraham Maslow once said, most people are doing one or two things. They're stepping forward into greatness or they're stepping back into safety. Mm. And when you're stepping back into safety, it's basically becoming average or doing the things that you really don't want to do because somebody probably preconditioned your mind to do certain things. And it's safe. We're playing it safe. We're tiptoeing through life hoping to arrive at death safely.
Bree was like, church. I love it, man. So when we talk about, and we're going to go to this one, waiting to take action, right?
Yes.
Waiting to take action. That's procrastination.
Procrastination.
That's the talking to your inner self.
Right.
So tell me about that.
Yeah. I mean, that's, and one of the things I want to share is this mm-hmm. book is principles.
Yeah,
I probably
principles.
Read in 2 years that I've been working on this book, I probably read without exaggeration, somewhere around 250 books.
Oh,
no exaggeration. Audibles, books.
Yeah.
And I wanted to look for the common theme, the common principles, because here's what I do know. Principles don't change.
They don't.
We do. It's like God. God doesn't change.
No.
We do.
Yeah.
So when I realized that all of the principles for success are the same, I wanted to summarize all of that into this. So waiting to take action, another word for procrastination. And waiting to take action is just basically getting you to realize that if you don't take action on your dream, your goal, your idea, your thought right away, the moment you make a decision, by the time you usually make the decision, you've already dealt with what they call the law of diminishing intent. Mm-hmm. And the law of diminishing intent is what I intended to do, or when I intended to do the thing that I really wanted to, I waited so long, I really don't want to do it anymore. Or the gap between when I decided to do something and when I actually did do it was so long, I got all this stuff in between. Now I got children. I didn't finish college. I don't have the money. Business is slow. The people around me aren't as successful as I thought they were. I got all of these external forces. And so now every time I try to make a decision, I'm like, I just can't do it. I just got too many things going on. And that's what usually happens when we wait to take action. I was talking about one of my clients in there. She's 25 years old. And we had this conversation. And she said, well, you know what, Jermaine? I feel like I'm a failure. And I said, well, you know, what does a failure look like? Well, I dropped out of college. I'm not working the job that I really want to work. I'm in a dead end relationship with this guy I've been with for all these years. She's going through all of these things that she felt she was a failure at. So I said, let me ask you a question. If today we made the decision for you to go after your dreams and your goals, mm-hmm. how old will you be in 3 years? She said, 28. I said, if you've accomplished everything that you say that you're a failure at now in 3 years, how old will you be? She said, 28. I said, if you don't do anything that we're talking about right now in 3 years, how old will you be? She said, 28. I said, you got a decision to make. And so what happens is waiting to take action is we're always at some point in our life at a fork in the road. And we got to make this decision. And because I can't really see how this is going to happen to me, I would rather not take the risk to do it. I posted something on social media today, and I said, if you leave life up to chance, chances are it's not going to turn out the way you want. And so what we're doing is I would rather you, Gene, give me the advice or make the decision for me instead of me making the decisions for myself, because if I fail, what are they going to say? So I'll either wait in to take action or I'm not taking action at all.
Man, Bree, we're going to have a hard time with these snippets. Yo, we have, man, like, listen, taking action, right? Because I'm thinking about myself,
right?
And as an entrepreneur, a lot of people see me, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, and, you know, it's just like, oh, Gene gets things done.
Right.
But there's a lot of things that Gene didn't get done.
Right.
There's a lot.
Right.
That was in my mind. I didn't take action. I didn't wake up.
Right. Didn't wake up.
I didn't wake up. I had the inner talk in my head.
Right.
And the conversation, I said, you know what? I shouldn't do this. I'll give you an example. My wife said to me, you should put a banner, and then this is my accountability that I'm doing right now.
Okay, right.
This is for me.
Right.
Because we're in 2020 now, so I'm letting you know. My wife told me 2 years ago when I first started the podcast, babe, we have the building. Why don't you put a big banner saying, tune in to Faith Grind Inspire every Wednesday on the building.
Right.
So that everybody... There's thousands of cars,
right?
Thousands of cars. You don't have to pay for it,
right?
You're the print company,
right?
You print this stuff,
right?
You can print a banner for yourself promoting your podcast to put on your building,
right?
Do it. 2 years, Jermaine.
Wow.
You know how many times I went through like four assistants? We go outside. The assistant comes in, fired up. Hey, what do we got to do? We got to do this, this, and this, and this, and this. But one thing I need you to hold me accountable for. Let's go outside right now, tape measure, make sure
right.
the width of the banner, the height of the banner.
Right.
And we're gonna do this banner. We do the measurement, go back inside, client stuff, house stuff, life
the
stuff.
The typical stuff, right?
Then the talk in my mind.
Yes.
The conversation.
Yes.
Yo, you know what? I'll wait until tomorrow.
Yes.
Tomorrow comes. Something else happens.
Yes.
2 years, Jermaine.
That's what happened.
I still haven't put this banner. Now I'm telling you, when you guys listen to this episode, now I put myself out there to thousands of people.
I'm going to put you out there.
Yeah. This banner is coming up, bro.
Yes.
This band is coming up.
But let's just talk about that.
Because I'm going to wake up and win.
Let's talk about that, because I think that's very important for us to understand.
Yeah.
How small mm-hmm. and simple not taking action is, right? Mm-hmm. But how grand it is. You said 2 years.
2 years, bro.
All because you didn't just sit down, say, this is what I need, the measurements, and put it into play. Mm-hmm. And so now what usually happens 2 years later, I'm dealing with regret. I'm dealing with shame. Mm-hmm. I'm dealing with guilt. and these are the things, or now I have more inner conversations that's going on because I'm looking at life and I'm saying, you know what? 2 years ago, I should have did that. 2 years ago, I could have already had that. I don't know how many different opportunities I missed because I did not do this 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Another conversation that you have in your mind, you want it like I'm a perfectionist, right?
Right.
So it's more of like, oh, if I put this on the banner, what if we change the logo?
Right.
Oh, what if I, you know what? I'm going to wait until maybe I get a co-host.
Right, right.
Oh, wait. You know what? Maybe if I get a sponsor and we put the spot.
Right.
Oh, I think I'm about to switch real estate companies. So let me put the real estate company.
Right. it's everything that gets into the way.
You create something. You create. And the interesting part about it, if you told me, hey, Gene, I want to put a banner on your building.
You get it done right away.
I'll get it done so fast for you. But for me.
But isn't that powerful?
It is.
But this is what's so powerful about what you said.
Self-awareness, people.
What's so powerful is we would take all of our efforts, all of our energy, all of our strength to go help somebody else. But then on the side, we're bleeding. I think I talked about that at our last podcast about when we get on the plane. And the flight attendants or the pilot, they're always saying, hey, listen, if there's an accident and these masks are going to come down, you take the mask and you put it on you first, then you can help somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But we're always helping somebody else or doing something for somebody else that we neglect helping our own selves. It's like, I don't need to help myself be healthy. I don't need to help myself be wealthy. I don't need to help myself be spiritually, financially, mentally fit because I'm so consumed on fumes helping somebody else. I don't need to replenish myself.
Facts. So,
and we live life like that. So we live life like that. So for me, like now, I spend a lot of time by myself.
Yeah.
Because I think it's very important that we have some sort of system to go refuel. If you just drove your car all the time with no gas, how far do you think that's going to make it? You got to refuel. And guess what's so powerful about refueling? It costs money. Some people don't want to refuel themselves because it costs money.
Mm.
I got to change my diet. It costs money. I got to go to the gym. That costs money. I got to invest in my financial program. That costs money. I got to invest in the disciplines. I got to buy books and Audible and all that stuff. It costs money. So I don't actually want to refuel myself because it costs money.
It's true. But you have to do it.
You have to refuel yourself.
To bring it back to real estate, I was having a conversation with a developer, and this guy said to me, the fines or... you know, the permits to get everything done is going to cost $35,000.
Okay.
But I'm losing $2,500 a month by not doing it.
Wow.
So the cost, you have to do it.
Right.
You have to take action.
Right.
You got to wake up and win.
Got to wake up and
win. But you have to invest.
Right. If this is so interesting, and I said this in the book, if we decided today not to do what we said we were going to do and we got sick or we lost all of our security or we lost something or there was a penalty to pay up front, a prepaid penalty up front for not doing what we said we were going to do right now, we would accomplish everything.
Oh, absolutely.
But procrastination is so smooth, right? It's so charming. It's like, hey, why don't you come over here and be comfortable with me for a little while? I'm not going to do anything to you right this second, but trust me, your procrastination will snowball into effect in your life 3 to 5 to 10 to 15 years down the line. And now you're paying multiple, triple, quadruple for you just not doing something as small as going out there and putting up a sign.
Yeah, man, you make me feel terrible.
You going to put that sign up today?
No, I'm going to put that sign. Oh, trust me, I am, bro. I am. And it's been weighing on me, man.
Right.
Like, I dream about this damn banner.
Right.
You know, and I hear my wife's voice, why didn't you put the banner up?
Right.
Why didn't you put the banner up? You know, and so, and it's funny because this talking about, and guys, I'm talking about a banner, right? But whatever it is in your life,
right?
This is just an example that you could see. You
right,
know?
Of course.
Years ago, same conversation with my wife. we're producing a show with Kevin Hart, and same thing. She says, why don't you put a banner on the building telling people about the show?
Right.
I was like, what are you talking about? At the time, I was like, oh, what are you talking about? A banner on the building? No. People are driving.
Right.
Bro, I put the banner up. KevinHartLive.com. Kevin Hart Live, Westbury. Blah, 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 blah. Tickets on sale. Do you know when I put that banner up, we sold 600 tickets?
Wow.
From that banner.
Wow.
From that banner. Because when we did the demographics and saw where the tickets were being sold from, it was Brooklyn.
Wow.
Brooklyn. And I didn't promote in Brooklyn at first.
Wow.
I was promoting in Long Island because I figured we're doing the show in Long Island.
Right.
So we might as well promote in Long Island.
Right.
But then once I put the banner up and we started selling tickets, I was like, I had this all wrong.
Wow.
I need to promote to the people in Brooklyn because Brooklyn people want to go to Long Island as a getaway.
Right, right. Going to the suburbs.
And I didn't think about that, bro. Right. And so thank God for my wife. She said, put a banner.
Right.
And so now I'm thinking to myself, I don't sell tickets to come to the podcast. So I don't know if it's because I don't know what the bigger picture is going to be. Maybe more sponsors, maybe more. I don't know. But I am going to do it.
Right, of course.
But it was just something that, based on this, it just made me think about it. And whatever it is in your life, how do people deal with procrastination?
It's some kind of fear that we have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny. We spend most of the time talking about the things that we want to accomplish. I was talking to one of my clients the other day, and I said, I think the majority of the people feel that they accomplish their goals by telling everybody this is what they're going to do. So after I finish telling you this is what I'm going to do, I share it on social media. I talk to 10 of my friends. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. After I finish talking about that, I really feel like I've accomplished something. But I don't actually do the work. So our talking and our action has to line up with what it is that we want to accomplish. So how do we break through that? Well, what is it that you really fear? Is it fear that after you said that this is what I want to accomplish, the amount of people looking at you waiting for you to accomplish this will be like, well, see, we told you was going to be a failure doing that, or we just was waiting for you not to do it. So I think people have the fear of what other people are saying. So they actually don't accomplish. They don't start, and they don't really believe, again, what's possible for others is possible for them. I was talking to one of my friends the other day, and I said, you know what? The challenge is, we don't actually spend time with the thing that we really want. We say we want it. I say I want to live this way. I say I want to do this. I say I want to be the number one real estate firm or agent or whatever field that I'm in. I want to be the best. But I don't know what that looks like because I don't spend no time with it. I don't sit. I don't visualize. I don't imagine. Albert Einstein once said, imagination is the preview of things to come in your life. But we throw imagination right out the window.
We do.
And having children is the reason why my imagination is through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They want all kinds of things for Christmas, all kinds of stuff that you can't spell and you wouldn't even think somebody would want. But they don't have a cap on their imagination. We're the ones who place a cap on imagination because guess what? That's not reality. And reality is telling us right now that the dream that we really want, the things that we really desire, what's really tugging at us, not being in a situation that we're comfortable in, is not possible for us. So we don't use that imagination. We use an imagination, but that imagination is materializing the things that we don't want. So when we sit down and take the self-imposed limitations off the table, like I can't, I shouldn't, I won't, the self-imposed limitations. Mm-hmm. When we take those self-imposed limitations and say, you know what? This life that I want to live is going to require me to do some things other people just ain't willing to do. And you got to, like Napoleon Bonaparte, the great war general, one time he was fighting his enemies. He took his whole army with him on enemy's territory. They all went to this island. and there was a bunch of ships behind him in the water. He turns to the ships. He orders all of the ships to be burnt.
Burnt, yeah.
All of the ships are burnt. He looks at the army. He goes, hey, listen, we got one or two things here. We could win or we could die, but we not retreating. And most of us, we don't look at our goals like that. We win or perish. It's like, listen, you know what? I tried it for 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 15 minutes. It didn't work. Or I kept going. I was 3 feet from goal. I threw in the towel. We don't have that mindset that this is what I want and I'm willing to risk everything possible for me to get it. So when we start looking at our dreams and our goals like that, it becomes a burning desire. A burning desire is not something that you feel in your stomach. A burning desire is something that I just got to get my hands on. If you were around me 3 weeks before my book printed, everybody who I was around, I kept saying, I feel the book in my hands. It's like suede. I kept going through the pages with my hands. And they like, Jermaine, you're crazy. I was like, no, I feel my book. I feel it. It became a burning desire. So every time I turned around, the only thing I saw was people saying, your book is phenomenal. People saying, this book changed my life. People saying, this book is the reason why I'm going where I'm going. It became a burning desire. I had to win or wake up and win or not wake up and perish.
Mm. Bro, see what you wish to see.
Yes.
Now let me tell you something. When you talked about the the vision of the book and feeling the book and like and what people and hearing the voices of other people talking about the book, that's how you supposed like that's what you're supposed to feel.
Right.
Like when you put out a project, when you if you don't have that level of passion, entrepreneurs out there. You need to rethink and reevaluate what you're doing.
Right.
Like, you have to. Because if you don't do that, right, someone else is going to do it for you.
Right.
And those are the people that tell you it's not going to work.
Right.
It's either you tell yourself, I feel it, I feel it, I see it.
Right.
This book is phenomenal. Or you're going to have other people say, why are you putting out this book?
Right.
Because you know what happened when I wrote my first book?
What happened?
People told me it wasn't going to work. People told me I wasn't going to sell books. People told me I didn't have enough followers on Twitter.
Wow.
And Facebook. People said, you know, I'm a suit. I'm not relevant to like the entertainment business. Like these are the things. And my first month, I sold 15,000 copies.
Wow.
15,000.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
When people tell you, because I did the same thing, I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's interesting that we have similar visions, man.
Right.
Because my first cover was me standing on top of a building in Manhattan, and I wanted the rooftop. Mm. I wanted the Chrysler building to be the backdrop.
Wow.
The top part.
Wow.
Right? Because I want people to understand, and I put this on Instagram a few weeks ago, I want people to understand you have to think from the top.
Right.
You can't think from the bottom.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Like, from the bottom of this mountain, all you see is rocks
and if you're paying attention to that, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Right.
You have to, but when you look at this image and you see these three people up top, they see everything.
Right, right, right.
And they see that there's opportunity. Oh, there's buildings over there to the left.
Right, right.
But when you're on the bottom of the mountain, when you're on the bottom on the street level, all you see is just people. And cars and rats and dogs.
Right.
You know what I mean?
The bottom is always crowded.
The bottom is always crowded.
Right.
But when you go to the top, when you think from the top, I don't care if you're an entrepreneur, I don't care if you're an employee, like you have to think and you have to approach it on the from the top.
Right.
The viewpoint on the top. And not just saying you have to have a lot of money. It has nothing to do with money.
That's your view.
It's the mindset.
Right. It's your view. Right.
You have to come in with that confidence, man.
Right.
Like, you have to come in with that Jermaine Miller confidence and that passion, man.
Yeah.
I want to ask you something.
Uh-huh.
Because you do a lot of, you train a lot of, like, car dealerships,
yep.
Right? And I was driving by a car dealership the other day, right? On Kings Highway.
Okay.
In Brooklyn. And I was saying, and you popped up in my mind, right? Because I saw this guy this sales guy, two people walking by, and I'm at a light. So two people are in the dealership, and they like looking at the car. And this salesman is just sitting on his phone. I don't know if he's on Instagram, Facebook, whatever he was on, but he just wasn't paying attention to these two potential buyers.
Right.
And I don't know the full story. Maybe he asked them, said, hey, do you need help? And they said, no, we're just looking. And he sat down. But the way he looked like he was sitting there for a while.
Right.
Right. And I was saying to myself, yo, this guy didn't get trained by Jermaine Miller. I swear to God. I was saying that to myself. I said, yo, this guy needs training, bro.
Oh, man.
And I was like, yo, do you think I could, like, you know, I was like, I've never sold cars, but I was like, that's bad.
Of course. It's funny because, obviously, I'm involved in the auto industry, in the auto dealership, so I understand the logic. And most of that actually stems from the top. They say you don't change morale from the bottom up. You change morale from the top, and it trickles down to the bottom. So most of that bad posture, not really going after the clients, not really providing customer service to the elite level, mm-hmm. that stems from the leadership. So leadership allows that, and then it trickles down to the bottom. It's okay. So when I go into some of these companies and I'm speaking to some of these managers and owners and GMs, they're like, oh, we don't need any sales programs. We don't need this. We don't need that. But they're always talk about increasing their sales. They actually don't want to invest in the salesperson because their mindset is once he goes, I could replace this person with somebody else. It's just a body. So they don't really look into that. So you have to be able to really show them why this person is losing you money and you should invest in them before you let them go.
Wow. Man, it's true, man, because I think that's what you just said was interesting because it's start from the top. They have this this lack mindset,
right,
and this relaxed mindset where people get comfortable and then the salespeople don't earn, right, because there's no motivation,
right,
and then the salespeople I always came into a sales situation even if the top was lack because I thought I owned the company. I came in thinking I owned the company.
Yeah,
so I treat it, I walk around and I'm telling the bosses like, hey, yo,
right.
I remember when I was at Dynamic, I used to go to Rob like, so Rob, what are we doing today? Rob is the CEO. Like, right. I'm just a loan officer.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I've always felt the same way,
yeah.
too. In fact, Earl Nightingale, one of my favorite people mm-hmm. in the world, he talks about that in Lead the Field. And he said, your income will always be in direct ratio to the demand for what you do, your ability to do it, mm. and the difficulty there is in replacing you. Mm. So if there's really no demand for you and it's easy for you to be replaced, which it really is, you won't really make an income. You won't earn a living. And so most people don't think like that. Your income is in direct ratio to the demand for what you do, your ability to do it, and the difficulty there is in replacing you. If it's easy to replace you, if there's no demand for you, mm-hmm. then you'll be going from dealership to dealership, company to company, office to office, this business to that business, because you've never created the demand for what you do.
There was a gentleman on the podcast, Sam Beer, right?
Okay.
And he works for a company called Corner Office. He's in sales. It's like a shared office space.
Okay.
Right? Sort of like a WeWork,
okay.
but a little more higher end.
Okay.
Right? And they have about 3 locations. And he came on the show and he said, you have to wake up every day, every morning, and how to be irreplaceable.
Mm.
Same thing.
Same concept.
It's how do you, and I don't think a lot of salespeople understand that.
No.
I think they think it's just like, you need me.
Right.
And the conversation between the difference, the disconnect between the top and the bottom, something you said earlier was the ownership is like, you're a body.
Right. I can replace you.
So you're, if you don't do well,
I'm just going to put somebody else in the system.
And it's just going to be this turning wheel, right. You know, this revolving door.
Right. One of the things that I share with sales people is every single day you should write down. I mean, you don't have to be in sales for this, but every single day you should write down 5 to 10 things that you could do every day that will improve upon what it is that you're currently doing. That way you don't stay stagnant. That way you don't stay still. That way things don't get mundane. You are now looking at life from a different perspective because you're saying, you know what? I can expand upon what I'm currently doing because now I'm giving myself some new ideas, some new goals. If I'm going into the same environment, going into the same house, going into the same organization, and it's mundane, dull, dry, I'm not excited to be there to live my dream, to live my passion. And most people don't realize that where they are right now is just a vehicle to get them to where they want to be. But if we don't take the right approach to that, we'll never get to where we want to be.
No, we won't.
Thomas Edison, one of my favorite stories all time, with the light bulb switch. I mean, the light bulb. And they said he failed 9,999 times to get this famous light bulb correct. And on the 10,000th time, he got the light bulb right. He does it right. And he said, I didn't fail 9,999 times. I found that many ways it did not work. But what was so powerful about this story is I'm writing my book. I'm almost finished. It's called The Power of a Mindset Switch. What's so powerful about this story is he failed that many times, right? But when he decided to go for his next invention, he got it right. See, it's the law of compensation. The law of compensation says that you've paid for this somewhere. So now the resistance isn't going to be the same because you paid the price somewhere else. But since we never really paid a price in the things that we really want to do, life doesn't get easier for us. It's like what Les once said. If you do the hard thing now, the rest of your life will be easy. But if you do the easy thing now, the rest of your life will be hard. So we don't deal with the law of compensation because every time we're doing something, it doesn't work. We go somewhere else.
We go somewhere else. We avoid.
We avoid.
We there's no self-awareness of the situation.
Exactly. Exactly.
Talking about Les Brown.
Yes.
Congratulations to you, man. Forward by Les
Forward
Brown.
Forward by the legendary.
The
Les
legendary.
Brown.
Yes, the legendary. Man. The man himself, man. Yeah. The father of this, you know.
Yes.
That's great, man. You know, Les Brown, Dr. Dennis Kimbrough.
Yes.
Man, we
yeah. It's all parallel.
We're like parallel, man. Like. Dr. Kimbrough wrote the phone.
I remember you telling me.
Yeah, man. And that was like, and did people tell you you couldn't do it? You couldn't get him as a...
No, because nobody knew.
Oh, nobody knew.
See, that's the most powerful thing about our dreams.
Yeah.
We don't have to broadcast that we have a dream.
Yeah.
We can broadcast we have a dream when a dream materializes.
No, what I'm saying is, did anyone, when you said, I'm going to write a book, I'm going to get somebody to write the forward.
I never thought about it. So how this whole thing worked out is the story behind me knowing or meeting Les Brown was I followed him. I read his book, Live Your Dreams.
Live Your Dreams.
Live Your Dreams was the first book I read. And I was going through, you know, I was sleeping on the floor in the basement. I had 93 cents in my account and I was living a nightmare. So Live Your Dreams kind of helped me get out of this nightmare. But there was one thing he said in there was, you have something special. You have greatness in you. And that was like the first time I believed somebody saying something like that to me. So Les Brown had always been somebody influential in my life until when I opened up the real estate company, I started looking for some motivation. I'm like, listen, man, I know I got to be more positive. I know I got to be better with people. So I went right back to this book. It was like the only book that I had read in like 5 years. And so it opened me up to some other avenues. And so after all this time, I had never gone to a seminar, nothing. So I found out he's at a Get Motivated seminar in Pennsylvania, the Philly. I drive down to Pennsylvania. I get the ticket. They say, you get this ticket, you're going to take a picture with Les Brown. So I'm excited. I wait there the whole day. They call the people to take pictures. I go up to take pictures with him. They go, no, no, Jermaine, you got the platinum package. The package that you take a picture with less with is the titanium package, and we don't have any more of those now. So I'm furious. I go back to my seat, and I said, you know what? I wasted my time. So I see him for the first time on the stage. I'm so fired up, but I'm angry in the process. As I was on my way home from Philly, I wrote down, I said, that's it. I'm not supposed to be in his life as a picture taker. I'm supposed to be in his life as a son. And I picked up my phone. I put his name in my phone. And I said, one day he's going to call me. And, you know, to summarize the whole story, one day he did call me. I didn't have his number. I wound up calling him back. And the first thing he said was, son, we got work to do. Stored his name in my phone. It's been an incredible relationship ever since then. And what was so crazy about it is the seminar that I went to take pictures with him mm-hmm. was a Get Motivated seminar in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. I think a year and a half later, I was at a Get Motivated seminar backstage with Les Brown, and he's saying, hold my phone and record me as I'm on stage. And here I am saying to myself, wow, I'm in the moment that I materialize in my dream. I'm in the moment that I materialize by my desire and my goal. And I was the one who took him to the hotel. I was the one who made sure he ate. I was the one who made sure, all because I made up in my mind, this is not what I want. Mm-hmm. This is what I want.
Designed your future.
I designed my future. I decided future. What I wanted.
You decided what you want. You saw it.
Yes.
You saw it. A lot of the things, the concepts and the principles is all about vision.
Right, right.
You know, and I love that, man.
Right, right.
You dropped a lot of tips, a lot of positive things that you shared with the audience.
Right.
Are there any other gems, any tips that we didn't discuss and we didn't bring up that you see, because you've been around a lot of people throughout this year,
right?
This past year, anything that you want to address that I didn't think about that you saw, because you're, you know, on your road, on your track, right? You see things and you hear, like, you know how you say, common themes,
right?
You know,
right.
So what are some of the common themes you see in entrepreneurship in 2020?
I would say, let's take everything off the table.
Take
everything off the table and now really decide what it is that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This is what I want. This is what I want my life. And the things that you write down for your goals and your dreams for 2020, I want you to write them as though it's impossible for you to fail. But this dream and this goal that you may have, you got to know what that harvest is going to look like. See, when I get a seed, if it's an apple tree, oranges, whatever it is, I know that when I plant this seed in the ground, it goes through whatever process it goes through. And then that's my harvest, because I got an orange seed. What we don't do what we do is we don't know what our harvest is going to look like. But we got a seed. So when we put the seed in the ground and it goes through all of the things that it has to go through, or it may not come up in the time that we want it to come up in, because see, my relationship with Les Brown took 2 years from when I made the decision. But I knew what I wanted it to look like. So when it materialized, I was like, wow. What we do is we don't really know what our harvest is supposed to look like. So I go back to the seed. I take my shovel and say, you know what? Mid-process, while this seed is growing, it's not working out here. Let me put it somewhere else. It's not working there. Let me put it somewhere else. We get anxious. We fear. We worry. We become afraid. And we pull our seeds up and we don't give it the time that it takes or the time required for us to harvest or materialize all of the things that we want. So my advice for 2020, get back to the drawing board. Get back to the drawing board. What are your dreams? What are your goals? And I'm talking about the dreams and the goals that you won't get paid for doing, but you love doing.
Mm.
Right? That's the dream and the goal. That's what's really going to wake you up. That's purpose. That's something larger than life. Writing books for me now is like what I was getting ready to talk about. somebody said to me, how do you already have your cover, your foreword, your book already done? I said, because it's a purpose. I was already writing that book while I was writing this book. And when you look at life like that and you understand that there's a greater purpose for you, you plant your seeds. That's what success is all about. Success is the progressive realization of a worthy goal. And if your goals are worthy, you're constantly progressing, you're constantly growing. Every time a harvest comes, you've already planted another seed to have another harvest. And when that harvest comes, there's already been another seed. That's what success is all about. But because we don't experience success consistent enough, when we do experience this success, we want to labor and bask in that glory of success, and we stay there for years.
Stay there. Oh yeah, man. Preach. Yo, that's our thing, man. That's our thing, bro. Listen, when you talked about the seed, right? And you talked about the planting, growing, I thought about, because I go to CCC,
Christian Culture
Center in Brooklyn, right? Grace and peace, everybody.
Yeah.
And
great pastor there.
Yes, Pastor A.R. Bernard, but Pastor Jamal Bernard, right? His son,
right,
was preaching like 2 months back, and he said, "Fruitfulness is what our purpose is."
Right.
One, two. Everyone has the capacity to bear fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Two, three, anything can be a seed.
Mm.
So you gotta be careful. So now anything can be a seed. I thought of you, right? And I thought based on this, you could have positivity, and that's gonna grow into you and success,
right,
into the kids, everything.
Right.
It's gonna grow. It's gonna bear fruit. Everyone can bear fruit.
Right.
But if you put the negative,
that's easy,
and that seed grows,
right,
that's when you spend 2 years not putting the better up.
Right, right.
And you know, you're gonna spend 2 years not going back to college. You're gonna spend 2 years not you're gonna spend 3 years, she's gonna be 28,
right,
and not fulfill the dreams,
right,
not leave that relationship, not start a new relationship,
right,
not go for the job that she wanted to really go for.
Right. I don't know if I shared this the last time I was here, but the weeds, you know,
the
negative
weeds.
Thoughts are like weeds.
Yes.
And we don't need a seed for weeds. If you ever go outside, if you ever go outside, or if you're in the country or the suburbs, you don't go and intentionally plant weeds, right? Like, it's like, I'm going to plant weeds today, right?
No, you don't.
And weeds, they grow a lot. They, you know, they grow in abundance. You don't need a seed for them. And their only job is to take the nutrients out of the soil so the good crops don't grow. And that's exactly what negative thoughts do.
Yeah.
That's exactly what negative thoughts do. They take the nutrients out of our mind, right? They ambush us and they don't allow the positivity to grow. So you can't live by default.
Nope.
Because if you live by default, and default meaning I'm not planting my dreams, I'm not planting my goals, I'm not looking at the things that I want to accomplish in life, I'm not around the things that I want to accomplish in life, by default, the negative stuff will appear.
Yeah.
By default.
By default.
By default. So one of my favorite stories is the story about the oak tree. And I was doing a little bit of study behind that. And what I found out is they have two purposes in life. The first is to grow to their maximum height.
Mm-hmm.
The second is to give more life. More life for them is oxygen for people around, and also to produce acorns. So now I produce an acorn, I get another oak tree. Isn't that powerful, right? And so I'm looking at this whole story, and they got 250 to 500 years on Earth. But the first 30 years that they're in existence, they only produce one acorn. And I start thinking about us. Entrepreneurs, business owners, sales, whatever. And most of our first years in business, we're inconsistent. And in those inconsistent years, that's where we have the inner conversations. Is what I'm doing supposed to be what I'm doing? Maybe this isn't the right thing for me to do. Everybody has heard that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next 44 years, they produce acorns, but they produce them inconsistently. So now, for 74 years, this oak tree, who is one of the most powerful things that can be birthed and grow,
mm-hmm,
is having a problem producing what it's supposed to do, right? And so what I found out was so powerful. The reason why those first 74 years was such a problem for this oak tree is because it didn't grow to its maximum height. Trying to get you to understand something. We're going to be inconsistent producing the things that we want to do until we grow into the person that we're designed to grow into so that we can be consistent. So when we talk about our dreams and we talk about our goals for 2020, we have to start asking ourselves, am I becoming the person that I'm designed to become? And will I be consistent when I get there?
Yes. Agreed. Agreed. I love it, man. I love it. Listen, let me give them the last two, right? So fruitfulness is not an option.
Right.
So you have no option, right? You have to bear, it's either going to be good or bad.
Right.
Right? Just
right,
like you
right,
said.
Right.
And the last one is you can't plant a seed without getting your hands dirty.
I like that. There's no way. You can try. Even the little pots that they gave my kids in school, you still got to move the dirt around to put the little seed in there. Mm-hmm. You got to get dirty. You got to get dirty.
Yeah. You can't. The example he used, he said, you know how Salt Bay throws the salt?
Yeah.
You know, he's like, you can't plant seeds like that.
No, but we want to because it's easy.
We want to like sprinkle the salt, sprinkle the seeds.
Right.
You know, and it was a powerful image. So he had... You know, he gave the scripture, he preached, but then he showed images of plants that him and his family planted at the same time.
Wow.
But he said, here's the first picture, plant, little sprouts. Second plant, little bigger.
Right.
Third plant, a little bigger, but it was just like, okay. The fifth plant, full-blown...
Wow.
Full-blown plant.
Wow.
And so he's like, yeah, you guys would think that this one we grew for a longer time. We all planted it at the same time. And one thing that I want you to talk about, and we could close here, is if you're looking at these plants, right? The first plant is looking at the fifth plant.
Right.
And say, how come my plant didn't grow like that? We planted it at the same time.
That.
We started business at the same time.
Yes.
We wrote our books at the same time.
Right.
How come you sold 15,000 and I only sold 2?
Right. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like people judging each other, they're judging themselves and they're not understanding that they need time to grow.
Right.
To their maximum potential.
Right.
They need to be that oak tree. Maybe it's going to take me
some different type
10
of
years. Yeah. We have a mutual friend, and he's coming on the show, and I can't wait to hear this one, right? Matthew Garland.
Yes.
And Matt, I know him before everything, right? And when we spoke the first time, this is the conversation he said to me, and I'm going to bring this up where he comes on. And I'll never forget it. He said, Gene, I want to be the Gary Vee of mortgages.
Mm, he told me that, too. He did tell me that.
Yo, this is like 2 years ago. Gene, I want to be the Gary Vee of mortgages. And I said, yo, bro, you're going to do it.
Right.
I was like, I'm
almost certain I said the same thing.
Yeah, you're going to do it. I was like, if that's what you want to be, go ahead.
Right.
No one's stopping you. Because the lane in the mortgage field is
wide open.
Wide open.
Wide open.
Wide open. So now you think about it and... So what are your thoughts about that? Like, because in this age of social media, it's only getting worse. And even social media, even Instagram, is trying to stop it and say, oh, you know what? Let's take away the likes. But the likes ain't going to do nothing.
Nothing.
It's not about the likes, man. It's not. It's all about the images.
Right.
So you don't have to have a like, but if you show me like you drive a Ferrari.
Now I got to
like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Why does he have a Ferrari and I don't have a Ferrari?
Right.
Why is he living in this house and I don't have this house? Like, you know, so talk about it. I don't want to talk about it.
Well, I think what we have to do is find out what actually makes us happy. Here's what success is. Success is doing something you want to do because you predetermined that that's what you wanted to do. So that's what's always going to make you a success, when you're doing the things that you decided to do for yourself. So when we start looking at other people's pastures or fields, mm-hmm. The pasture's always greener where you water it at. And I like the story about the Acres of Diamonds, right? Russell Conwell, phenomenal book. And he talks about this farmer, this African farmer who went looking for diamonds. He heard that there was these incredible diamonds in Africa. So he's like, look, I'm going to sell my land. I got acres. I'm going to sell it. I'm going to take the money. I'm going to go searching for these diamonds. Mm-hmm. So he sold it. He went around Africa, couldn't find these diamonds. It got so challenging for him. He lost all his money. He threw himself in a river. He drowned. The person who bought his acres was in the backyard looking in a stream one day, picked up a rock, or what he thought was a rock, and he just put it on his mantle in his house. So when he had a visitor come over, he's looking at the mantle, and he's like, oh, my God, that's not what I think it is. So he walks up to the mantle, he picks up the rock, which he thought, and it turned out to be one of the biggest diamonds he ever saw. So the guy looks at him, he goes, yeah, in my stream, I have a whole bunch of them, but I just picked this one up because it was the biggest one and I wanted to keep it. They went to go do the research on it. He had the field with all the diamonds on it. So the other farmer went looking for the diamonds. The diamonds was already in his field. Why am I bringing this up? That's exactly what we do. We're going to some other field. We're going to somebody else's life looking for the diamonds. But we have the diamonds rooted deep inside of us. We have untapped potential waiting to be brought forth. But we would rather go to somebody else's field and get their diamond, mm-hmm. instead of bringing the diamonds out of our own field.
Yes. Yes. 2020, guys. Wake up and win.
Yes.
Jermaine Miller. Listen, you have to reach your goal, man. No, I have to hold it, bro.
You gotta.
I got to hold this book, man. You got to wake up and win. There's no other way. What you going to do? It's 2020. You can't keep sleeping. You can't keep sleeping. Your family needs you. I deal with a lot of different nationalities in real estate. Right. You do too.
Yes.
It's crazy to see how when you walk into a different business, like a family, a legacy business, it's generational.
Yes.
Oh, my grandfather started this firm. And then my father took it over, and now I'm studying to take it over.
Right, right.
For us, it's my grandfather started a business.
I dropped it.
My dad dropped it. Right, my mom dropped right. it. And now I'm trying to start something
else, right.
Yo, wake up.
Right.
Wake up
right.
and win.
Wake up and win.
Success leaves clues,
it leaves
man.
Clues.
Success
Powerful.
Leaves clues. You said something interesting, and you said a lot of interesting things, but this one was another one that hits the nail, you know, hits it out the park,
right.
on the head. You read 250 books. You wanted to see the consistencies, the similarities throughout the books to tie down to make it easier for people.
Yes.
So they don't have to read.
Right.
You went through the hard part.
Right.
So that they can, all they have to do is read this.
Yep. That's
right?
exactly right.
That's what mentors are.
That's it.
Les Brown spent many
yes,
years
yes
doing what he's doing so that it carves the path for you to make it a little easier.
Yes,
it's not
yes.
going to be super easy. It's not going to be like you wake up today and you're going to be successful. No. Dr. Kimbrough, same thing.
Yes.
Same thing. You know what I'm saying? Even what we're doing.
Right, same thing.
We're doing stuff to make it easier for our kids.
Kids, yep.
For the kids that are looking up to us that don't have fathers.
Right. That's
you see
true.
What I'm saying?
That's true.
Like, I see it all the time, man. Like, every time I'm like, all right, cool, I'm really busy. Because I have mentorship programs in school. So I'm like, I'm really busy. I can't do no more. Like, I have to get to work because
right.
I have clients depend. Have a mortgage to pay.
Right.
I can't do this. It's heartbreaking to
right,
see
right.
these kids struggling like this. You know what I mean? Like, I want to fight their fathers.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And So, but then as I'm about to give up and walk away and say somebody else's turn
right.
to do this, man. You know what I mean?
That's not
a
it.
Teacher comes yep. up to me. A mother comes up to me, texts me, calls me and says, Gene, I see the difference in so-and-so. Mm,
that's powerful. You can't replace that.
And I'm like, all right, man.
You can't replace
like,
it.
Like, I can't stop.
You can't.
You can't stop. The seeds, bro. Like, you might not see it at the time.
Right.
But it's planted and it's going to grow.
Absolutely.
So, man, we're going to keep going. But one last question.
Yeah.
And I asked you this before, uh-huh. and I'm going to ask you again.
Go ahead.
Out of Faith, Grind, Inspire, right? Based from... What is your which word resonates with you now?
Wow. Oh man, I mean, all three of them are powerful, but I don't think you could have a grind, or I don't think you can inspire anybody without the faith. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Persistence is another word for faith.
Mm-hmm.
So there's your grind, right? If you don't have persistence. Or if you don't have the faith, you won't persist. If you don't persist, you could never be an inspiration.
Yeah.
So I got to use faith okay. out of all of the words. All
right. That's it.
That's it.
Tell people where to find you.
You can find me on all social media handles, Jermaine Miller, JermaineMiller, or my website, JermaineMiller.com. My new book, Wake Up and Win. You see Gene holding it with that gorgeous smile of his, with the foreword by the legendary Les Brown himself. It's currently on Amazon.com, Kindle, Barnes & Noble, ebook, Nook, I think it is, and Barnes & Noble printing as well.
That's what's up. Look at this smile, man. That's the wake up
That's
and win.
The wake
That's
up
the
and win
I
smile.
Woke up and won smile. So, guys, thank you guys for tuning in to another great episode of Faith Grind Inspired Podcast. I had a wonderful, wonderful time
yes.
today. I am going to put that banner up. So the next time you come, I'm going to tell you
that's
the success
it.
Of that
that's
banner.
It.
Shout out to everyone that tunes in. Thank you, Brianna, for being a producer. Thank you, Tim. I want you guys to have a great new year. Let's celebrate. Let's wake up and let's keep grinding.
Yes.
Keep grinding. Make sure you have faith. Be consistent. God bless. Let's go.
Thank you.